The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Sammy.
Hi, I'm Bronya, and welcome to the Business of Cake Making. Hello, and welcome to this episode, which I can't remember which one it is.
Episode 39.
I know we told you all that we were going to do resetting your business for 2022, but Sammy bagged the most amazing guest.
Yeah.
And we thought it was the perfect episode to finish 2021, finish on a high, and then we will be back with the reset your business for 2022 in January. On January the 3rd, we're going to be back. But over to Sammy to tell you about our incredible guest that she got us.
So today's guest is Molly Robbins from Molly's Creative Cakes, based in Rossendale, East Lancashire. Molly is known for many cake achievements, including winning gold at Cake International with the cutest tortoise orangutan cake with the appearing on Extreme Cake Makers on Channel 4. She makes amazing realistic cake sculptures and cake creations. Plus, she has a new range of silicone cake molds, which help in the creation of a sculpted 3D cake without a support. Plus, so much more. Thank you so much for joining us today, Molly.
I hope
you're excited as we are that you're on here.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me. I feel honoured.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm a big podcast fan as well.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, gets me through the day.
I think a lot of cake makers are podcast fans. They're good for cake making.
Yeah, because you don't have to look at something, just listen to it.
Yeah.
If I was watching telly, I think it'd take me twice as long if I was watching telly, but
yeah. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you started out in the cake world?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Molly and I am 30. I had to think about that then. I'm 30 now. I have been making cakes for I think it's probably about 11 years. So I've been doing it quite a long time. I was trained, I did fine art and then I did a degree in special effects. So I was a makeup artist. And whilst I was doing the degree, it sounds like it's nothing to do with it, but actually when I was doing my degree, I was watching a lot of the American, it was the time that like Cake Boss and Ace of Cakes kind of came on. And it was really popular and really big and it suddenly came about and I've always loved just making things. So I was playing about making the odd thing here and there. And people kept saying, oh, I like that. We make me one of those like that. So I was just doing it alongside just a bit of something to do. Never for any money. Although I think everybody started out the same way. And then I ended up finishing my degree and went into the world of tried to get into the world of special effects / media makeup, so a lot of TV stuff. And I just kind of found with doing something really creative, so part of my degree we did airbrushing was part of the degree, for example, and sculpting and figurative stuff and casting molding. And I went into the real world of makeup. And number one, it's really was actual special effects. I don't know if it's the same now. It's a very male-dominated industry. So it was very hard to get into. And with anything, I think, media-wise or TV or film, it's if you're not incredibly pushy, it's very hard to make your way up. So I'm quite, as it always kind of surprises people, so I'm actually quite introverted and not massively like blowing my own trumpet, kind of pushing myself out there. So I didn't get the jobs I wanted to get. I was working on for a long time just doing like antiques programs or like game shows, and it was just like putting powder on the heads of bald men. So that was it. That was my job for like years, and I just thought this is just not what I've done. Like years of training and like an art foundation degree, which made you all different types of art and like making amazing things and having this amazing portfolio. And then I was just putting powder on people's heads, and I just thought there's got to be more to it than this. And I think if you're creative, like you guys would be the same way. If you aren't kind of flexing and exercising that creative muscle, then you go a bit mad and you just want to be doing something that's,
yeah,
that's creative and out there. So I just kept doing a few more of the cakes and it just took over. It was just like a race, and then that just took over. And then, I mean, it very, very slowly. The only thing I can say that worked in my favor was at that time, it was a time when Facebook pages were, well, they weren't monetized, so like Facebook wanted people to see your page, whereas now I think it's hard to get people to see it at all. So that grew nice and organically, and we got a lot of traction from that, and it just came from there really.
Excellent. So obviously Channel 4 then came along with Extreme Cake Makers. How did that all happen? How did you get involved with Channel 4?
Extreme Cake Makers came about because I was so young, I think, when I started in being involved with like Cake International and Cake Masters and things like that. I was doing it since I was about 21. So whereas people think now that I'm like a younger one, I've actually probably been doing it the same amount of time. I've just kind of been quietly in the background like a mouse, like a big giant mouse. But I was involved, actually, Cake Masters magazine. So I was involved with Cake Masters when it was a group on Facebook. And wow. I was in the first ever, like, I think it wasn't even a magazine, it was like a digital magazine version or whatever it was. Yeah. So Rosie from Cake Masters was contacted by the production company to say, do you know anybody who kind of fits this brief? And I think it was difficult in the world that we have, because they wanted, it's very, very real. So Extreme Cake Makers wasn't staged. It's not like some of the American ones where they'll like stage a cake falling down the stairs for the jeopardy of it. It was very real, and they wanted people with genuine orders and genuine cakes that they were actually doing. So it was quite hard to find somebody who, well, they found like 10 of us, but somebody who actually had the orders and was doing the cakes regularly. Rosie said that I had a good personality, so I'll take that. they suggested me because I was doing a lot of cakes. I wasn't just doing, you know, like, for example, some people just make the incredible competition pieces, or they'll do one incredible piece every 6 months. They didn't want that. They needed someone who was doing things regularly, and I was doing up to 15 cakes a week.
Wow.
No, it must be mad. I know. I'm going to put myself in an early grave, I think. I've shaved 10 years off my life. I'm actually 40. But I was doing loads and loads and loads. I think I tried to work it out once. Back in the day of Facebook, I used to put every cake in an album. And when I was about maybe 7 years in, I'd done 4,500 cakes. So, like, it'll be even more than that now. I wouldn't even like to think how much it'll be now. I just stopped counting, but because I was doing the regular cakes, I work incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. And I think I ticked a box for them in the sense that I could come and bring the kind of the incredible cakes, but, you know, not to the standard of like some of the other cake artists on there who could put more time into them, and they were really intricate and really precise. Mine were just kind of regular all the time. I was doing, I think, just on my own with Extreme Cake Makers, I'm in about 85 episodes.
Yeah, you seem to be in most of them.
I'm in most of them, yeah. So I think that it was good for them because I was creating content for them. I was like churning them out like a cow.
So you were pretty much there every episode, you know.
I think it worked out about three quarters of them, maybe something like that.
Right.
I was doing a lot for children. I do a lot of cakes for children anyway, so I think that, well, I don't know, I can't speak for anybody else, but certainly the feedback that I get is a lot of kids like the kind of cakes I make. So
yeah.
A lot of little girls, like, that's my main sort of fan base now, is like 8-year-old. I'm very big in the world of 8-year-old girls, which is kind of cool. I think it's just down to, like, they're all quite, the cakes are quite fun and colourful and not too serious. Just, I don't know, I kind of feel and hope that people can watch the kind of thing I make and think, oh, actually, I could have a go at doing that, you know, rather than being too, what's the word? Not too...
Yeah, what you do is quite relatable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the difference between Cake Boss and Duff Goldman.
Yeah. You
know? I think you're much more Duff than you are Buddy.
He's a friend of mine. I know him. He's lovely.
Really? Yeah. And I think because he's quite relatable, and I think you're probably much more Duff.
I think so. And it's part, I mean, there's a number of different reasons. Like, my price range is probably quite a bit lower than other cake makers as well, partly because of where I live, partly because they don't take me as long. It's just a different thing, isn't it? It's a different niche. And I was providing cakes weekly for various different occasions, so
I understand that. And if you're really quick, your hourly rate, you can still have the same hourly rate, but you're quicker, so therefore it will bring the price down. So yeah, I kind of get that.
So none of the episodes I did went, the longest we ever filmed for was 3 days, but I wasn't doing anything in between. So I'm not a all night kind of cake maker.
Good.
Like Rosie. Yeah. Because Rosie lives near me as well. We're both in the northwest. We're both Lancashire. She's the posh end. I'm like the not so posh end. It's so funny because we used to have the same PDs, producer directors, that used to come and film with us. And it was usually just one person that did everything. And they would kind of like fight over who got to film with me, because I'd clock off by 4 and we'd be down the pub. Whereas with Rosie, knew she'd take on these projects and they'd be absolutely incredible. And she's so talented. And they came out amazing, but she'd be doing it till like, she'd be loading it in the car at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'd be like, I'm falling to the area.
Excellent.
You've got an easy job with me, I think.
But I mean, that kind of saw your career, you know, put you right in the public eye, didn't it? Really sort of put you out there.
Yeah, hugely so. In ways I didn't realise as well, because obviously you do something. I've done bits of telly before. I do a bit for like Blue Peter, CBBC, kids stuff. So I've done all sorts of things like that, but never anything to that extent. But you don't know. You just don't know what it's going to be like, because you don't know whether there was an appetite for it. We didn't know. It was kind of a strange time. So I call it the come dine with me hour. So it's like, what's this?
Yeah.
Is it going to be kids? Is it going to be adult? It ended up being both. And it was very much like I don't know. It took up so much of my life, the filming it, that I sort of forgot people would watch it, if that makes sense. So it came out and I was like, oh my gosh, my mum and dad would have like, they'd make me watch it every week. There's on viewing party. I think I still lived at home. I used to still live with mum and dad then. So it'd be like my dad cracking open a bottle of champagne every time it was on. We ended up going through so much booze just watching telly R5, and no one could talk, and then we'd have to rewind it if somebody said something and watch it again. And it became like quite a nice thing for us to watch as well, even though I was like, oh, watching yourself on telly's weird. But then it became something of its own, like it created its own monster in a good way. Like, they sold it to, I found out, 64 countries in the world. It's sold to airlines, so it's on airplanes. It's on,
my God,
it's on Netflix. In fact, I was the one that found out it was on Netflix. So we have an Extreme Cake Makers WhatsApp group which had everybody on it, and my mum texted me whilst I was at work and said, me and your gran are watching Netflix, and you know it flicks through different shows different things and things she might be interested in. She was like, I'm sure it was you. And I said, no, I can't. I said, well, wait till it comes around again. I think she must have waited half an hour for it to come around again. And it was me on the thing. And she sent me a picture of it. I thought, what the hell? So I spoke to the series producer and he said, oh no, I don't think so. So he didn't even know. So then I put it on the WhatsApp group. It was like, guys, you know we're on Netflix? And like, nobody had a clue. It was the maddest thing. Like, and every day there's somewhere else and I can tell where it's on because of the social media stuff that I get. So at the moment, I know it's on, it's just started being shown in Tanzania.
Really?
Wow. I don't even know where that is. Like, I don't.
I'm not Cuba. Too sure either.
But I kept getting these messages from people with this flag, you know, on the Instagram page, you usually have it in the bio, like a flag. And it was the same flag. And I was like, where's this flag? So I asked my friend that was good at flags. I was like, where's this? And she was like, that's Cuba. And I was like, oh. So it's just in this, all these mad, I mean, I didn't get a penny for it. I wish I got some payment from it.
Damn.
It's one of the biggest shows like in India. Like incredibly huge program in India because it's on like very prime time there. Like I think it's BBC One in India.
Wow.
So it's absolutely huge there. And I think anything like sweets and cake related in India is always a big thing as well. Yeah. So I've had lots of marriage proposals from people in India.
Have you?
Have you been tempted by any?
Particularly Howard Dean, I know where I'm going.
See, it always freaks me out because I look at the stats for our podcast and we don't get many, but occasionally you'll get someone in like Botswana that's watching, that's listened, and you're like, it just kind of blows your mind a little bit. That
the maddest one is in most countries, I believe it's because the only way I get to find out is like in that dark, shadowy, filtered requests box of Instagram. Yeah. Which I don't always go in, but I do, so I have to for business. And people send me, like, sometimes they send me, like, a recording of their telly, and they're in different countries. So what I've worked out is in a lot of countries, it's in English with subtitles.
Yeah.
But in other countries, like, some, I think it's Russia or somewhere, a lot of different countries, they dubbed the voiceover with, like, a language. So we've seen, like, little clips, and it's, like, me talking to my mum. And like they found someone that they think sounds a bit like me, and then my mum, they've got this like old Russian lady like talking like this, and it's so funny. And she's like, "Do they think that's what I sound like?" And I'm like, "No, they've just got someone your age, and they've just got a woman in their 60s, and it's just so mad. It's bizarre.
That's amazing.
That is pretty cool, though. Knowing that you've been seen all over the world.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing. I know,
and there's some like dodgy old shots as well.
Excellent.
Whilst we hate to bring the conversation down, we just want to talk about the fire at your studio. It was quite a major fire by all accounts. How did you find the strength to recover?
Oh, thank you. Well, that was where I worked for the best part of 8 years. It was originally a garage underneath my mum's house, and we turned it, it was purpose built really. So there was like a kitchen, it had its own separate bathroom. It was all done to kind of the regs of, you know, council, hygiene, food prep, that kind of thing. And where was I? I just got there. So I lived in Manchester at the time, but I used to go every day. So I used to drive about 40 minutes every day to go and work there and then drive back again. This is when I was met my what is now my fiance Dean, so we lived in Manchester together. And so what happened was it was the tumble dryers that were recalled by Whirlpool.
Oh yeah.
So it was Whirlpool, Hotpoint and Indesit. I've since learned loads about, they're all the same company. So it was one of those tumble dryers, and what happens to them is, you know when you have the little shelf that comes out and it's full of fluff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to take the fluff out of every time. So my mum was always like regimented, like you've got to take the fluff out of every time. So there wasn't
There's something really satisfying about that fluff as well.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's like solid, isn't it? It's really clean. Yeah.
It's always purple.
Like, yeah. And you think, I've never had anything purple in it. Yeah, and there's like a fiver in it sometimes.
Not in mine.
No. Only a fiver, not a tenner. I'm not made of it. So what happened basically, and I didn't realise this could happen, with those tumble dryers, the heating element was too close to that bit.
Right.
So the tumble dryer was actually switched off, which is scary. It wasn't even on. It was still warm and it just ignited. And if you can imagine, that fluff is like the ultimate kindling. It's like the most flammable thing ever. It'd be great to try and start a fire with if you want to. And it just went off and I just got there. And my mum said, "You've got to stay in the car. There's an issue. There's a situation." And saw my dad going in. My dad, who has had open heart surgery and was not in any form to be going in, with a wet towel on his head. I think he was trying to stop it because it was their house. You know, it was underneath their house.
Yeah.
So he went in, and then the neighbour went in, and then they just couldn't get under control. And then I it was quite dramatic because my dad was going to go in again, and the smoke had gone upstairs into the house, and the windows had gone black because you couldn't see.
Wow.
And they say once the smoke goes black, you shouldn't go in there. So I literally had hold of his collar going, "No, don't, please don't go in there. You're not going back in there." A dread to think. And my dad has got heart failure, so he's had a lot of different problems and a lot of different surgeries. So he was just basically the worst person to try and do that. He's being very heroic, but I'm glad he didn't go in. And from the call to the fire brigade, I think they were there within about 6 minutes.
Wow.
I think the whole thing was 8 minutes, start to finish. Three fire engines, very dramatic. And it just gone. So that room as well, we used to store all the cake boxes and all the boards, which again, super flammable.
Oh, yeah.
It's a compressed board, isn't it? In the drums. Yeah. And I used to buy, I mean, I don't buy anything ones, I buy 20s, 30s of everything. So they're all in there. And it just went. It just absolutely went. Like, it was the maddest thing. It was awful. It was awful. And I went through all the different stages of thinking, I shouldn't feel like this about material things because nobody's died. And it was really awful. And like, actually, cake makers were like sending me flowers. They were gutted because obviously it was a big part of their show. And like, everyone used to talk about the wallpaper in my studio, which is just from B&Q, but it was like, it became a thing. And it just gone. The worst bit was I had all the photos of the cakes on the wall and they were just plastic had melted. So it was just like liquid.
Yeah.
And then they came and I didn't know the way they do it because everything that wasn't fire damage was water damage because of the amount of water they have to get on it. So they just chuck everything on the drive in a huge pile. And I mean a pile bigger than me, like it was an enormous pile of stuff. So I was kind of looking at stuff like, what is this? And some of the, like, you know, like the plastic cutters or different colours, they'd melted it onto different things. And they looked like modern art installations, some of them with the blobs. I was looking at them, what was that? What is it? All horrendous. And like my KitchenAid, so my KitchenAid was my first ever major purchase. So for the first 5 years of cake, nobody knows this actually, I used to mix the cakes with a whisk that I'd jammed into at the end of a drill. It was clean.
Yeah.
But it worked.
I just couldn't afford a mixer. And then I borrowed the money for a KitchenAid off my gran. I used to pay her back £20 a week. And that was the first like major investment that I'd bought. And it was, you know, the raspberry pink metallic.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just saw that just chucked on the heap and I was just like, oh, this is depressing. It was really, really, really depressing. Everyone
although you think it's material stuff, it's not. That was your baby because that was your business and that's what you'd invested so much in, isn't it?
Yeah, and the feeling you have over your own business is a total different thing to work in somewhere. It was totally different and the thought that might not be able to continue was horrendous. And then for many, many different reasons that are far too long to go into, we didn't get any money from the insurance.
So
it's still kind of up in the air. They're threatening to close it, but basically they took the dryer to forensically test it and then they lost it.
What?
No.
And I always think, how do you lose a tumble dryer? They've lost it.
It's not like something small, is it?
You need a tumble dryer to dry your clothes and you can't find it. You're like, oh. To be honest,
isn't it? It's not like a pen, is it?
I know.
Oh, my God.
It was just so bizarre. But I was lucky in some ways. Nobody was hurt. And
how was your parents' house? Was that affected at all?
Yeah, it was just very badly smoke damaged. But
right.
We replaced it as much as we could.
Yeah.
It was many tens of thousands of pounds to fix.
My
but
word.
This led to now, long term, my mum and dad live with me now. So this is a new house. And they're currently downstairs. My dad's making some garlic, absolutely stinks of garlic. But we're all here now together. So it's worked out for the best. And it also meant that it kind of kicked me up the arse to, can I say arse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
it made me go bigger. Uh-huh. So that weekend.
You've got a whole new studio now, haven't you?
Yeah. So
it's pink, isn't it?
It's that bit's pink. So it's an industrial unit. So it's 2,500 square foot in total.
Wow.
The bit you'll have seen is the mezzanine. So it's like a warehouse for products, and then upstairs we have space, like a teaching space. So very kindly, when the Renshaw Academy changed to online. The tables from there, they gave me the tables from there. So the Renshaw have been great. They always are, like with me. So I kind of hold now Renshaw affiliated classes. So everything I use is theirs, and it's a good way to then promote their products and vice versa.
Perfect.
And we have offices and kitchens and stuff like that. So it is better in the long run. It's just it's a pretty traumatic way of having to go about it.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a scary way to.
It was scary. I had my dog in the car. I had to put them in the car, and they were like,
"Oh,
no," because I think I had one dog. Then I've got three now.
You have chihuahuas, don't you?
I have three chihuahuas. Yeah.
Dammy's got chihuahuas.
Have you? Yeah. Well, oh my God! Don't get me started on chihuahuas.
I just love them so much. But I've got Chalkies.
Nothing like the love of a chihuahua. Yeah. Oh, is that a Yorkie?
A Yorkie crossed with a chihuahua. Yeah. So one looks like a Yorkie dog, and the other one looks like a chihuahua.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah. That nothing will ever love you like a chihuahua loves you.
Yeah.
It's like an intense, burning sort of love. <isn't it? laughs> They are great.
Yeah.
They're great company as well. Like my partner, we were saying he works in Southampton, but his actual main office is in China. So when he's there, when it's not a global pandemic, like it's nice company. Got the dogs.
Got to have dogs in your life, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Do you still make customer cakes, or are you pretty much now product based and teaching?
Still make customer cakes.
You do?
I do. To be honest, it's something that I shouldn't do, but I can't say no. So I do maybe up to 5 or 6 a week.
Wow.
Wow. I know, but the business runs as two separate companies. So there's my cake business, which is me as a sole trader, and then the product side of stuff I have a limited company for. So it's two separate things. And I always looked at it as, you know, paying the rent for the unit was from the cakes. But now, I'm going to have to make a decision which direction to go, because I'm going in too many different directions at the moment, I think, with it.
Yeah.
So we may reduce, or it may just be, I know it sounds really sad. Customers aren't going to listen to this, so... you'll understand. I wish I could pick and choose the cakes I was doing, but that's not a fair way to do it. So I don't know. I'd like to do a bit less in that respect, because it gives me the freedom to create more things.
Yeah.
To the product side of stuff, I really enjoy that. Mm.
But with your cakes, I suppose it's that thing. As soon as you stop doing it, you just really want to do it, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But then again, like, if I wasn't doing cakes, I'd still be able to do a tutorial for a magazine or a creature creator tutorial. So we keep making those. So There'll always be something.
Tell us about designing your products. Do you have a team or do you do it alone? And do you have help with the business side of selling products?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The product side of things is a very little known fact that my fiance is a product designer.
Oh.
So he's a product designer and he's also a senior mechanical design engineer.
Wow.
So he's a very sought after person in his industry, which is mechanical devices, but means that he is very smart in some people that do product design aren't smart in the science side of things and vice versa, but Dean can do both. So when I met him, I had the idea for the Creature Creator for a couple of years, and we tried to do it. Me and Debbie White from the Cake Decorating Company, who's a friend of mine, tried to do it together, but we hadn't thought it through that well. So we were trying to do it in tin, like a metal tin.
Yeah, right.
And it was just so expensive. So we tried and tried every avenue and it was just too expensive and it was too complicated. And when I met Dean, I think it was about 6 months in, and I just kind of threw away comment and said, oh, I've thought of this product. Oh, I don't know how to go ahead. And he was like, you know, that's literally what my job is. And I didn't know. Because I just look at things as... anyone that does anything in an office or on the computer has got like a normal, scary adult job, and I just don't ask. So I was like, oh, Dean does something with computers. I didn't know. So I didn't quite understand what he did. And then I think it was maybe 3 nights since that conversation, and he'd reimagined what was my crap sketch on a piece of paper in SolidWorks, which is like it's like 3D design. It's so clever. So clever. Like some of the pictures of the molds on the website, especially at the beginning, because obviously we didn't have we had prototypes, we didn't have the actual molds. So some of them, the pictures and the stuff we used were renderings, because his renderings are so good.
Mm-hmm.
They're like photographs. So he's so clever the way that he does stuff. So he reimagined it. We did it in silicone rather than metal. Because he knows a lot about plastics. That's one of his specialities, is plastics and different types of materials. And because he works with like medical devices as well, he knew all the best manufacturers. So we wanted something that was really, really high quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with the molds, like I don't think you can buy a silicone baking mold that says thick and heavy,
right.
And heavy duty, and that's because of the manufacturing process that we use to do it. It's like hot press molded, but the way they do it is very clever. So it holds itself up, and it's something that people can have for years and years and years. So it's all Dean, it's not me.
Yeah, but you're the inspiration behind it. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, you're the one that designed it, and you know, and it's all really unique, and it's all really on brand for your cakes as well.
Yeah, well, the simple solution with all my products is, because I'm a kind of time serve cake decorator, is anything I always think, would I buy that? Because I'm so far down the line now, I've got everything, and I'm in a very lucky position where I get sent everything as well, so I don't buy a lot of stuff. I get sent stuff from different companies, which is great. But I think if I was still where I was 8 years ago, would I buy this and would I use it? And I'm also quite lazy now. Like, I think I was carving the same shape over and over again for cats, dogs, horses. They were all kind of the same basic shape. And I just thought, well, why wouldn't you just make that same shape?
Yeah.
And then you don't have to carve it. And I kept thinking about it, and I thought, I just kept thinking, someone's going to do this if I don't do it, and I'll be really cross. So the fact of it was, I took, towards the end of Extreme Cake Makers, we got a little bit of a fee for every episode. Not loads, but I saved that, and then I saved the money I was making from cakes I didn't need, and I had. It had been about 15 grand. And obviously what people don't understand about, if they're not in the world of manufacture, is you don't just pay for the parts, you pay for the tool that makes the parts in the factory. So for the tooling of it, was pretty much exactly 15 grand. And it was almost like going to a casino and going and putting it on red or black, because I thought, I don't know whether people will want this or whether it will be sustainable or whether people will get it. So I just gambled it, and I thought, well, I believe in it and I think this will help people. And I did it. And I mean, the pre-orders that went out, I think we did like 300 pre-orders. I've sold about 7,000 Creature Creators.
That's fantastic.
In 2 years. And people every single day email me or tag me on something to say, look what I've made. And it's a lot of the time, it's people that were frightened to do a 3D cake and frightened to do a sculpted cake. And I think there's no real products out there for that kind of cake. No. There's a lot of products for modelling or wedding cakes or getting a...
And 3D cakes are seen as really scary, aren't they? Yeah. You know, that's the, it's like the pinnacle, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I also used to, people would email and say, I want a cake of a cat. And I'd be so frightened to do the 3D cake that for years I was like, I can't do that, but I'll do you a cake with a model of a cat on the top. And when you think about it, it actually takes twice as long because you then have to make the cake and then the model. But yeah, so I designed that, and the tutorials that go with it, people make their own thing with it a lot, which is cool. I like seeing like the kind of things people make. Like they do all this, you know, all the licensed like cartoon Disney things that I can't do tutorials for, but I wish I could. Like Stitch, everybody makes Stitch with it. Stitch is really, you know, the blue alien.
Yeah, excellent.
Or all the like Paw Patrol characters and stuff. People make all sorts of stuff like that. So the products come from, you know, me thinking, what do I wish existed? That was where the fast figures came in. So the fast figures are like a reusable food safe armature for the inside.
I was watching your Instagram, and I was watching you do, I think you said you do a bride and groom in 30 minutes or something like that. Sammy does all my figures because I absolutely hate figures, and I was watching them, I was like, I could do that. I could do
Do you know what I hate the most is when people say, so what you have to do is you have to make the legs, leave them overnight to set. And it's not just a lazy thing. It's I'm not organized enough to think that far ahead. If I'm doing a cake, I want to do it there and then.
Yeah.
So when I do wedding cakes with bride and groom on the top, I literally put the fast figures in and then just make it on top of the top tier. Like that's how I do it. It's everything that's time saving. And I think we're in a good position, especially with Dean as well, because we have everything to the highest like food grade standards as well. Because there's probably a lot of dodgy stuff out there in the world that you order online and you wouldn't know where it came from or whether it was safe or anything like that. So that's where that came in. And I'm trying to think of some more products now, but
You had pup cakes or something. Oh, yeah. You've done tutorials and things.
Yeah, so that's my first ever. We've just launched cake mixes. So a really good, it's like a deluxe cake mix. So it's not something that you could buy in Asda. It's like it's a Genoese base or a chocolate fudge base. That people, because I have a lot of followers that aren't really into baking. They don't have businesses. I think I'm a bit more mainstream in that department. So I wanted to do something where, like, I just thought of example of, you know, a dad with his daughter on the weekend, doesn't know where to start. So with the kits, you get the mix, you even get the icing sugar, you get a booklet, you get the sugar paste, and you get, like, the full step by step. You even get the cake cases, so you get absolutely everything in the kit.
Amazing.
Which I think is quite handy.
Yeah.
they're going out at the moment, actually. The pile of those bigger than me at the moment. It's just hard to pack up. I've got a great girl that works for me called Katie, and she is hyper organised. So Katie works for me, and my mum works for me, and then there's me. So three of us there. So mum does a lot of the baking, Katie does a lot of the packing, and I do. I just walk around in a daze, not knowing where I am. to get in the way.
You do a lot of teaching as well. We saw you do classes for kids as well as adults. How do you find teaching the next generation of bakers?
Teaching the kids was a step. That was a decision. Like, I knew, like, people were asking for it all the time. When I used to teach at the Renshaw Academy, it was something that people used to ask all the time. But, like, with their insurance, it was a lot more hoops to jump through. So they didn't really ever make the leap. And then I started doing the adults classes, which were really popular, and everybody loves them. Like, we have such a good time, we have such a laugh on them. And then the kids ones came about, and I just thought, I'm just gonna have to do it, because it's not fair. Like when 7-year-old little girls come and want to hug you and at shows and stuff and say, I want to come and learn, if you can't go, no, sorry, I'm not teaching. Like, I was like, of course, I've got to do it. And the first one, I was terrified, because I don't have children, and I don't really know what to do with children.
Yeah, I
don't know whether it's an age thing or just a kind of, like, it's terrifying.
No. I'm 20 years older than you. I don't have kids. I still couldn't do it.
Yeah. So I just kind of, like, thought, what am I going to do here? So I've got a niece called Lily who's 4. So I just thought, how would I speak to her? Because she's a good laugh. And we just had a scream, like, this is so fun. I love the way that, so the first one we did was, like, everybody got a 6-inch cake. I showed them how to cover it. And then it was meant to be, it had stars on it. I thought, oh, I'll give them the choice of colour, and then we'll put a sloth on the top. So we put a little sloth on the top, like a figure, because kids love sloths.
They do,
I love sloths. Kids really love sloths. And then I thought, well, and then they can choose, like, maybe we'll personalise it with, like, a hat. But my God, like, the personalisation that went on. So from the word go, they were like, I don't want to do stars. I was like, you don't have to do stars. What do you want to do? So somebody said, I want to do an underwater theme. So I went, right, okay. So the next thing, I'm showing them how to make starfish and sharks and fish. Somebody made, so by the end of it, there was 12 cakes. They all had sloths on. They were all 6-inch, but there was, like, a sloth mermaid with a tail. There was a sloth driving some heavy machinery with a hard hat on. There was, like, a sloth wrestler. There was a sloth magician. There was a sloth wizard. It was so funny. And we absolutely howled laughing all day, because I was just like, of course you're making a wizard. Like, why wouldn't you make a wizard? It was so good. Whereas in the adults classes, I often find a lot of them can be a bit too restrained. So a lot of the adults classes, I say, people will come and I can tell in the first 5 minutes who's the, like, incredible sharp edge tall wedding cake, you know, like the white wedding cake with one beautiful flower on it. I can tell those decorators, and I have to go, you need to just forget that, you need to not be a perfectionist, because we're making dogs or whatever, and it's actually, when you make something really organic, you need to go the other way, really. That's my excuse for being rubbish at sharp edges.
So everyone has their specialities.
But whereas the adults can be quite restrained, the kids just go wild, and it's so funny. Like, I'm doing a Christmas class, it's the 21st, it's really close to Christmas, 21st something. And I just know it's going to end up, I've got 6 cupcakes with different nice Christmas designs on, and I thought, there's no way that's what they're going to make at the end of the day. Or they'll make those really fast, and then they'll want to make something else. So luckily, with Renshaw, they provide me with so much stuff, like sugar paste, they can just make whatever they want. So
that's brilliant.
I just keep going with it. But yeah, it's lovely. It's dead fun.
Excellent. Excellent. So where do you see, well, where next for you and your business?
That is the question, isn't it? I'm thinking about that today. I think, you know, the thing that I, like, want to punch myself in the face about every single day is I'm so bad with like videos. I need to do more video. I need to do more YouTube. I need to do more tutorials. I don't know whether that for me, I won't do something unless I'm absolutely forced to do it. So now I've got Katie every day. I'll text her before I come in and I'll say, film me doing X, Y, Z today. And if I don't do it, you can slap me in the face. Like, you have to make me do it. And so I think she was a bit worried, like, oh, no, because she works me well. And I was like, no, you have to make me do it because I won't do it. So I think whether that for me in the business means employing someone to film and do that side of things, because I can't do it. I can barely work an iPhone, like, terrible, rubbish. I'm very limited. I've taught myself a bit of graphic design along the way because I think you have to have a bit of that.
Yeah.
But filming and editing and knowing where to put the phone, and there's icing sugar on my phone most of the time. So yeah. You can't see anything.
Do you know, I saw a behind the scenes shot, it was today actually, I think it was on Facebook, of Rosalind Miller, and they were doing a thing for Rosalind Miller, and she had about 5 cameras around her, and I'm thinking, I've got an iPhone.
I know. Expensive setups, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think that it's becoming like it's not an option anymore, like the way that social media is going, the way the algorithms are going, and what people want to see, what Instagram wants you to know what it's showing to people. It has to be video and it has to be visual, and it's like they sort of don't care if that's not really your thing. it's not like I can't be bothered, it's just I overthink it so much. And I think it has to be perfect, and then I think it's rubbish. But then actually when I do it, I'm like, oh, that was good, and I enjoyed that. And
there's also that saying, isn't there, that done is better than perfect.
Yes, exactly. So I need to do something like that, because otherwise I'm just going to, like, technology's going to overwhelm me, and then, you know, like TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is awful. So I officially said, oh, I don't really use TikTok. I've got a TikTok account. It's got 25,000 followers on it.
Oh, my God.
And I don't post on it because I don't know what to do, because every time I go on it, there's, like, people, like, doing these strange things, and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Like, I mean, like the dancer, obviously, like, people make cake. Like, Lara is a really good friend of mine. Lara makes amazing cakes, and she's gone absolutely viral on there. She's amazing. But I just mean, like, all the weird people doing strange, like,
yeah, you don't have to dance.
Challenge, do this. There's a whole other world, like the weird filters that give your eye, like, different colored eyes and stuff. I find it all really strange. And I think it's that weird. Like they say that people, is it 6 seconds or something?
Six or 7 seconds, isn't it? Yeah.
To get someone's attention now. I feel like my attention span's going a bit that way as well, so I try and force myself to not, like, scroll on the phone all the time, because I think it's really bad.
I had to delete TikTok.
Did you? It is addictive to watch. Yeah. Like, I like watching the stuff. I like watching people make candles and stuff.
It's funny.
But if you think, so you're enjoying watching people make candles. They enjoy watching you making cakes. It's
no. I know. It's the same thing. I also enjoy watching people squeezing spots. I know, it's disgusting.
Oh, no, I love that. Pimple poppers. Oh, yeah.
So disgusting. It's so shameful. I love it.
Do you watch the microscopic ones where they go in really close?
Oh, yeah. Like the ingrowing hairs. I like the ingrowing hairs as well.
Yeah, I like those as well.
How awful is that? Disgusting. I think I told Dean that once and he was like, you are disgusting.
No. Well, there's a whole TV series on it. It can't be that disgusting. It's an obsession.
Yeah, I like really trashy TV as well. Yeah. I like crap. I don't really like the Love Island-y cat. I like Catfish. I love that. I've seen Catfish.
Yes.
No.
I love that's like people that pretend to be someone else they meet online. I love all that. And then I'm really because I'm getting married next 2023. Like a year and 3 months, so I like watching the wedding dress programs.
Oh yeah, I love
the Yes to the Dress.
Yeah.
Watch that. Yeah, whatever.
There's one in Lancashire as well. There's a Say Yes to Dress Lancashire, so I'm gonna go there and see what dresses they
have. Okay, big question: will you make your own wedding cake?
Yeah, I reckon so. all, yeah, I will. Although I've had a very generous offer from my friend Natalie Porter.
Have you?
Yeah, so me and Natalie are very good friends, and she said she'd make it for me. She makes beautiful wedding cakes. Mm. I just feel like I'm going to make something stupid that's just like, maybe like the chihuahuas with wedding outfits.
Oh, that would be so cute. Oh, like you could like pile them on top of each other so they're just on.
Oh, like tiered. Yeah. One's really big and then a medium and then a small, actually, it would work. Potentially could do something like that.
A tiered chihuahua cake. Awesome.
Gone off topic. Oh, that, sorry, it always happens that.
That would be epic.
But yeah, I have enough cake friends. I think I know most people in the industry. Mm-hmm. And hopefully get on well with most people. I'm not really a faller outer. I tend to stick with the same friends and get on with everybody, so it'd be nice.
You'll have an amazing wedding cake, whoever makes it.
I hope so. I hope so. I'm more excited about the free bar.
No, love a free bar. Which of the cakes over the years that you've made is your favourite and gives you the warmest glow?
The Shetland pony that I made on Extreme Cake Makers was the first really big life-size cake I made on my own. So I've done stuff before with like groups of people and like Rosie and different people in the past for different things, and that one was like a real, like I said that I'd do it and then panicked. I just kind of got into the habit of just saying yes to everything and then working it out after. Mm-hmm. So going, yeah that's fine, we can do that, and then going,
I've done that
so
before.
Making the structure like, and I mean, it's still just reverse engineering it all and start at the beginning, like making the structure. It was all quite simple, really, the structure of it. But I did that in 3 days after I made the structure, and that was the only cake where we watched it being cut because it was for Extreme Cake Makers, and me and my mum went, "We've got to go. It's too upsetting. I can't bear it. It's awful." So we left, just because we loved the cake so much, and we met the actual pony that it was based on. And the pony, because it was based off the exact measurements of the pony. Yeah. So we measured her, and she was so small, like she's like a miniature Shetland. So she was. So the cake actually wasn't huge. Well, it was pretty big.
It was pretty big.
One of my favourite episodes.
That's the one people remember, I think.
Yeah.
When people say like at Cake International, they say, "Oh, remember that one? You made that little pony. It was so cute." Like I did love making that. I was really stressed at the time. I think I can tell how stressed I am on Extreme Cake Makers by how thin I am. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm not naturally thin at all, but there's been like quite a stressful period. And I was always looking quite slim. I think I'd gone down to a 12, and I was like quite pleased with myself. And then on the next series, I'm like, oh no, I've obviously had a nice few nice dinners. I thought, oh yeah, you're having a good time there. Been out for a few meals. Yeah. The odd problem. But that cake was really nice, and I love the elephant as well. Mm. The elephant's the biggest thing I've made. Dean nearly broke up with me on that
really?
One because I didn't measure the door.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
So there's a shot just, and he never loses rag, but he was just like, why didn't you measure the door? And the weight of it, I think it was about, we guessed it was about 100 kilo working it out. So,
word.
So about 15 stone, something like that.
Because fondant's like, not light, let's face it.
No. There was so much cake in it as well, that one. So much cake, I think. And we were just, like, it's mad to think now. If we were filming now, I could make even bigger stuff because I've got the huge unit and a great big roller shutter kind of thing. But I was just doing everything in, like, the one little oven and just like loads of sheet cake. I just think, well, I wouldn't do it like that now. But at least I kind of did it the really hard way, so now I'd be able to know how to do it again.
Yeah. Learn from the harder times.
But then I also think if I was asked to do it again, I was like, oh, gosh. Makes me tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, don't suggest to them that they should come back and say you could do even bigger ones.
I would do it, but I would be... I need a week. I don't have any time off. That's my issue.
Yeah.
I don't have weekends off now with the teaching. Mm. I don't really have evenings off because I still
carry on. Because you're doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is fun. This is like a little break. And it's just things like all the kind of accessories that we have on the website. I bring them home and pack them all up here on my kitchen island and take them
back. Oh, wow.
So if there's a space, I'll fill it. With stuff.
Oh my God. Oh, no. The woman's mad.
Yeah. I know. Right. You get to that stage, don't you, of madness where you think once if you stop, then you worry.
Yeah.
Naturally, like very, very, very anxious. Yeah. So if I'm not doing stuff, it makes me feel worse. Yeah. So it's my kind of, it's not the healthiest coping mechanism, but it's the kind of the way I do it.
Right.
Just drink loads of wine.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one.
Another one.
Nice rose, eh?
Yeah, I can get on board with that one, definitely.
Yeah. I think it's a cake maker thing, must be.
Yeah, the stress. It's not the least, it's not an unstressful job.
Yeah, I know. You need it.
Right, so this is the time of the podcast to say thank you very much for coming and talking to us, and for you to promote yourself. Where do we find you on your socials, your websites? What services do you do? What products have you got? Go.
I'm trying to think what my TikTok was. Can't remember. I am generally on Molly Makes Cakes across most things, and Molly's Creature Creator is my website, so it's mollyscreaturecreator.com. You can find the links in all my social media kind of things. We do products, classes. The classes are in person, they're in Lancashire. So if you have a fancy trip up, it's very nice. A lot of people come up from down south, but they kind of stay at the Premier Inn overnight and just make a little weekend of it. I do all the different like smaller products, like the Fast Figures. I've just launched my own range of airbrush colours with Rainbow Dust. So they're doing really, really well. In fact, I think we nearly sold out of all those.
Wow.
And
yeah, I tried to buy some. They were gone. Sold out.
I got the first batch. I got the first batch of new ones back in. So I think I've got the preferential treatment. But so I do. And then I do all the shows as well. So I always do. Cake International has my heart first and foremost. I'm doing shows this next year in Australia.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm doing Miami and Germany. And I can't remember. I've got to start filling my 2022 diary. I haven't bought it yet. Okay. I do have a paper diary. That's my issue. I need to buy the diary and put the dates in. I'm doing some teaching the end of this year with Hobbycraft as well.
Oh yeah.
Like online workshops with Hobbycraft and probably some other stuff I should have mentioned, but I can't remember. Always work with Renshaw and Rainbow Dust anyway, because they're just great to work for. So bits and bobs here and
excellent.
There.
We'll put all of that in our show notes so people can find you and people can see where to get hold of you or where you're going to be online or wherever.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
I'm going to have a gin now.
Oh, enjoy it.
Thanks. That sounds like an amazing idea.
Thanks, girls.
That was brilliant.
That was amazing. She's just so lovely.
Yeah.
I know we say that at the end of all of our interviews.
Yeah.
But
she was. She was lovely.
She was. And can I just point out, I know the listeners wouldn't be able to see it, but she was swigging a beer while she was talking to us. Do you know what? It's 7 o'clock in the evening. She's had a full day at work. She had a bottle of Asahi. Good on her. And she chatted and she was just so nice.
Yes. Yeah, I was a bit awestruck.
Oh, she was lovely. Right. We hope you all enjoyed that because I think that was one of our highlights this year.
Mm. Yeah, what the perfect way to end?
Yes, perfect way to end the year.
End 2021.
Yes, yeah, because it's been a shit year.
So yeah, it has.
Finish on a high, except we have to finish on our product of the week.
Yes. Do you know what? I've suddenly thought, oh, this is the last product of the year. Then,
and I
should have chosen something a bit more exciting.
Mine's not exciting, but. Crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is that our products of the week aren't always sexy, but
yeah,
you know, they're important things.
Yeah, they are.
Right. So my product this week, you know how at the moment in times of COVID and Brexit, boards are really hard to get hold of.
God, yes.
They're just like the worst thing in the world to get hold of. And I like a covered board.
Yes.
But for the last 6 months or so, probably longer, I have been using the Masonite boards.
Yes.
The ones that they're there, you can get them in white or black or like marble. And I love them. And I am never going back to silver drums ever.
Really?
I have made that. So that is my product of the week, are the Masonite boards. They're a little bit more expensive to buy.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have to cover them.
They're brilliant. I really like them. I've only been able to get pink ones and black ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've not seen pink. But you can get mirror ones as well, and like rose gold ones. And
you can get matching boxes as well.
Oh, see, that's much more fancy. I see, I'm just talking about boards. But the other thing that I like is that they, you can drill holes in them really easily, and they don't splinter and...
Oh, what, do that big puffy thing?
Yeah, all the fluff go everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't have to get ribbon to go round them.
No.
Yeah, and they've kind of revolutionised my cake making. Because if you think, can you remember when we had the shop? Melissa used to spend all Monday afternoon covering boards.
She did. And that wasn't even putting the ribbons on either.
No, it was just coming, it was just working out which size board you needed, what colour it had to be covered in, so it could then set, so it could have the cake put on it. And it was just such a nightmare. And this, you just get a board out of your stock and clean it with a bit of vodka and you're done.
Yeah.
I love them.
That is a good product of the week, actually.
That's my product of the week.
Yeah. Product of the week.
And what's yours?
Well, mine isn't super exciting or anything, but my product of the week is deco melts. Because I really like them.
Who is this a particular brand? Deco Melts a particular brand?
They are made by Fun Cakes.
Okay. And where you got them from?
I got them from Cake Stuff, Cubby Craft. And you can also get them from the cake decorating company, Vanilla Valley. Amazon do them, but support your local bakers rather than Amazon.
Yeah.
And you can also get candy melts. But the reason I really love deco melts, I think you can get them in Asda as well. It's come up with Asda on my search. But the reason I like them is because you can get such a variety of colours now.
Yes.
So today I've done fuchsia pink, I've got black, I've got blue, I've had orange, I've got pink. You know, there's just so many.
And they
many
taste colours. Really nice too.
Yeah, they do. They're rather scrummy. And you can get other flavoured ones as well. You can get toffee flavour. Scrummy, yum, yum, yum. And I'm just scrolling down.
Right, I'm going to say something a little bit controversial about candy melts, especially the ones that I've bought at Hobbycraft. I can't remember what brand. I think they might have been the PME ones, candy melts I bought at Hobbycraft. They never used to melt.
No.
What was I doing wrong?
I think you just have to keep 30 seconds, give it a good old skirt,
because they used to go like it's almost like seized chocolate they used to go I kind of gave up on them.
It sets really quickly, it's not one to hang around. You can put a few drops of oil in it, you can do that, but I used it today on a pink cake. The photos were rubbish. It still looks like it's a red cake, but it was fuchsia pink. And it just, when they came in, they clapped their hands and they went, their customers. So, I think it gives you, if you want a bit of pizzazz and, you know, wow to your cake.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can use chocolate, but if you're colouring white chocolate, it's like colouring buttercream or royal icing. You never get that really intense colour, do you?
No. And if you put the wrong thing in, sometimes it splits or it just looks rubbish. Oh, if I've used dust, I haven't got that colour, I'll use this colour, and then you regret it. So, it's already coloured. And the colours, because neon is, I know we're coming to the end of 2021, but I think neons are still going to be strong for next year. So the neon colours are brilliant.
Right, so that was our last product of the year.
Product of the year. Oh, no, it wasn't. It's was just product of the week. We're not doing the product of the year because we have the whole year.
That'll be next year.
Yeah.
That'll be next year.
Yeah.
Right, so we are back on January the 3rd.
Yes.
With our our resetting for 2022.
And we've already got a really interesting, exciting guest for January.
Yeah, we are on fire already.
Yes.
So, have a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, and a Happy New Year.
We'll see you in the new year.
Bye. 2022. Bye.